to sing forever of His saving grace. His saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift up my voice, will and care. I'll be home and never to rejoice.
Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God is good, isn't He? Yes, He is. Are you enjoying this beautiful weather? You gonna stop complaining now? Too hot, it's too cold. God is good. God is good. Do you love God? I really love the Lord. If you love Him, sing it like you mean it. Yes, I really love the Lord. And you don't do what He's done. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, He gave me. Thank you, Lord. Yes, and that's why I love, well, I love Him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me, and He watches over me. Watches over me, and you don't know
what He's done for me.
Oh yes, He gave me. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love Him. I really love the That's why I love, oh, I love Him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what He's
done for me.
Oh, yes.
He gave me love.
Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love Him. I thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
And you don't know what He's done
for me.
Oh, yes, He gave me. Yes, and that's why I love you, Lord. I love Him. I really love the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're truly an honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, thank you for tuning in this morning. We hope we can say something that will prick your heart, that will make you want to draw closer to God. If you have a question, if you have a prayer request, if you need to talk to someone, if you call a number on your screen, we'd be glad to minister to you this morning, today. We'd love to see you visit us here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ at your first opportunity. I want to begin this morning. I kind of want to begin a series, but I don't want you to hold me to it. But I've been studying, and I was studying some things for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Numbers in the Bible, significant numbers, Bible numbers. And so I'm announcing that because I may begin some lessons that deal with some numbers, but today I will deal with a number in the Bible, and it is the number one. the number one. And today's lesson is entitled One God. I kind of wanted to start somewhere else, but I can't. The word won't let me start somewhere. I have to start here this morning. One God. And I know, Brooke, we know that. No, everybody don't respect the fact and don't really understand the teaching of oneness by the one God. There is a polytheism. Polytheism is the belief in many gods. Many gods. And each of these gods in their own way can, gods with a little g, could hurt or help. There is no absolute power in this polytheistic teaching. It was the basis of many of the Middle Eastern and the Greco-Roman forms of worship, and so you have many who have attested to this multiplicity of gods for centuries, and it is still even going on today. Polytheistic teaching. Hinduism is one of the oldest known organized religions. Well, some of people don't call it a religion. Some people call it a way of life, and it is to many who are in India and other parts of the countries, and mainly in India, who attest to Hinduism. And it is also one of the most diverse and complex ways of life, or religions, if you will. And there are those who would say that they have millions of gods. One writer I was reading said that there were at least 330 million gods. 330 million gods. And Paul, I believe he had in mind in Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Stay with me this morning. In verse 16, now while Paul was writing for them at Athens, was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. Now, young people need to listen to this. As you grow up and as you talk to people, especially those of you that's been sheltered in this church or sheltered in the Church of Christ. Some have been exposed more than others, but you need to know what's out there. And he said he's observed, but this is not new. City full of idols. And then drop down to verse 23 of Acts 17. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription: to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. So this polytheistic teaching is not new. It was back in Paul's day, but it is definitely in our day. Some of our older saints may not be familiar with the term postmodernism. It would be wise for you to know, especially if you have children or grandchildren, to know at least the meaning and definition of it. It's a term that's largely a reaction to the assumptions that many of us make about the certainty of scientific, of objective, of efforts to explain reality. And see, it's a reaction to that. And that's, in other words, they're saying that nothing is certain. Nothing is definite. Nothing can be just proclaimed as right for everybody. And the definition goes like this. It says, in essence, it stems from a recognition that reality is not simply mirrored in human understanding of it, but rather is constructed as the mind tries to understand its own particular and personal reality. For this reason, postmodernism is highly skeptical of explanations which claim to be valid for all groups, all cultures, all traditions, all races. Instead, it focuses on relative truth of each person. In other words, your reality is what you believe. Your truth is what is truth to you. Or you want to be a Hinduist? Oh, that's fine. That's the way you see reality, you sir. That's okay. If you want to be a Muslim, that's okay. If you want to be an atheist, that's all right. Because that's the way you think, and that's your reality, because you get your reality from your world, and your world is not my world. My world is my world, and your world is your world. So we all believe what we want to believe. And that's the world we live in today, postmodernism. There is theism. Theism is belief in a God, our gods. They believe in God, a God. Then, of course, there is atheism. Atheism is disbelief in the existence of God. Our gods. Atheists don't believe in God, our gods. The term atheist is derived from two Greek components, the A, which signifies no or not or without. Theos, God. A, not, without, no God. Not God, without God. And I believe that the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, it's kindred to this term atheism. In Ephesians 2 and 12, it reads, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. He speaks of the Gentiles, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God. Atheos, without God in the world. And he refers to the Gentiles back in his day, those who would say that there is no God. And you know the psalmist has said in Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I don't think we have any fools in here this morning, but you never know. You know, people come to the house, to the place of worship for different reasons. Brother Gary, you calling me a fool? I wouldn't do that. The Bible says call no man fool on this earth. But the Bible might call a person a fool if you, and I know there might be some that's on the fringe, on the line, or you just, I don't really know what I believe. The word fool, it's a Greek term that actually means mindless. It's really, and I'm not trying to put, I'm just, can I teach? I'm not trying to put anybody down, but you don't hear this from the world. And there are those who will want to control your mind and actually help you to not use your, an atheist is really the cheap, it's the easy way out. It's a rebellion and it's a rebellion against God. It's a rebellion to even try to believe that it's the only thought process that it would even take the simplest of philosophical scientists. All scientists would say that if you have nothing, something cannot come from nothing. That's the simplest term. You don't have to be religious to know that this microphone just didn't appear out of clear air. Somebody thought about it, somebody designed it, somebody made it, somebody labored over it, and it appeared. As in all things. But the atheist says that our existence, no God could create it. And even if you don't want to call him God, call it somebody smarter than you made it. Amen, somebody. And then the sad truth is that the atheists offer no alternative. It's one of the things that I get in conversations with some people sometimes. Well, I don't even know if I believe in God. Well, I tell you what, if you don't believe in God, what you got for me? What do you have to offer if you don't believe in God? You live a fruitless life. Oh, woe is anybody who does not have a belief in a higher power. Yeah. And so, George Harrison, who was one of the former Beatles, he was quoted as saying in his final days, as his cancer was was had him on his deathbed, and he was not a religious man, but he was quoted as saying, when all is said and done, there are only three questions that really matter in life. Where do I come from? What is my purpose? And where am I going? And I can tell you this, the atheist has not an answer for either one of those questions. And then there is monotheism. You have polytheism, you have theism, you have atheism. And mono means one. It's a belief in one God. Everybody say one. It is not complicated to say one. It is really quite simple, and this is really a simple lesson. It embraces a personal deity as the source, the sustainer, and the goal of everything. And I just wanted to deliver this message because you, to understand how God works, and of course we cannot understand everything about God. And our mind is not his mind. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. But to understand God's teaching and the simplicity of his message to us as human beings, you have to understand the simplicity of his plans, and it all comes from him, that there are no mistakes. Yeah. Three of the world's most influential religions are monotheistic. Judaism of the Old Testament, the Lord thy God is God. Him only shall we serve. Christianity, as most of us would attest to be Christians this morning, but there are a number of groups that proclaim to be Christians. Islam, the Muslim religion, they all are monotheistic in their thinking, that they believe that there is one God, and they, even all of these, they claim their descent from Abraham, the Jews, Christians, and Islam. But notice this: Abraham, the father of the faithful, the father of the Jewish nation, he was not born in a monotheistic society. He was not born in a monotheistic society. What are you saying, Brother Gary? Folk have been rebelling against God for a long time. A long, long, long time. And it's amazing because it started long years ago. Listen to Joshua in chapter 24, verse 2. Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. What kind of gods did they serve? You wouldn't believe of some of the gods that the people made up to serve. They served the butterfly. They served the calf, the cows. They served the bulls. They served the eagle, the falcon. They served the moon, the stars. They served bugs. And Joshua here, this is verse number 3. Then I took your father Abraham and from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. He took Abraham to begin the plan, that would save the whole world, that would attempt to bring all nations back to, everybody say, one. Now, God, in all of his wisdom, as he made us, he gave us volition, and he created us different from any of the other animals. And scripture would say that he created us in his own image after his own likeness, with the ability to think. And God has never made us robots to make us do anything, because God wants us to love him. He wants to be in harmony with us, in relationship with us. And wouldn't it be, isn't it amazing that God provided all of these things for his people? Adam and Eve, as they were in the garden, and he gave them everything that they wanted. Just, can somebody tell me, why can't we never be satisfied with God? God all by himself. And all of a sudden, people started replacing, worshiping the one God with all the stuff that they could see. And some stuff they couldn't see. Even when they couldn't worship an animal, they made up the structures to serve. They not only served the animals and the stars, and they would serve mountains. They would place all of these things, and they displeased God back then, and it sure enough displeases God even today. Yeah. Yeah. You know what's amazing also is that God acknowledge the recognition of these other gods. What are you saying, Brother? See, God sees everything. He saw everything that they were doing back in the Old Testament, and he saw exactly what they were doing, as he sees us today. And listen to the readings in Exodus chapter 20. Brother Hall read in your hearing a few moments ago. I'm going to start at verse number two. And some of you older saints, I know you're grounded, but I believe we need this today. I believe we need this today, especially our young people need it today. You'll understand God's thinking and even his laws better if you understand this about God. He says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It's also amazing to me how God has to say things that is already obvious. He says things that are already obvious. You know, when Moses helped to bring the children out of Israel, he always gave God the credit and God the glory. He always gave God the glory for everything that he did. So nobody would misunderstand and think it was Moses. But people still, instead of giving credit to God, who do they want to give credit to? Moses. It just happens that way because we can see and we can put our hands up. Isn't it amazing how you as a parent have to remind your children who bringing them food in? You have to remind them sometimes. They go to school looking nice and have nice clothes on, and you have to remind them, don't get beside yourself. Who bought those tennis shoes you wearing on? And they act like they don't. I don't know. I know a way you can teach them, no parents. Mm-hmm. Try it sometime. Every now and then you have to try it. Lose them. Take them out of there sometime. You'll hear they go, hey, mama, what happened to my? I don't know. I don't know what happened to it. But we have to remind our own children. Yeah, they sit down at the table eating and eat every day. And now these kids today, they don't sit at the table. You have to stop at the store and McDonald's and everywhere else, and they just eat, just yabba yabba, eat up everything. We buying the kids food, and I said, look, stop, just pray. Did you say your prayer? Oh, I forgot. Don't forget to thank God. Yeah, and some of us is grown for we eat and don't we, you do we forget to thank? Do we, you know where that turkey burger you eating came from? Yeah, don't forget. Don't be like, don't forget where this stuff come from. And you know, you can tell when you're not being appreciated when you have to remind folk. Because, see, you don't say it when folks are thanking you. You know, you don't have to say, You know, every now and then, kids, children, when you're getting dressed in the morning and you look in the mirror and say, you know you look good, when you walk out, say, thank you, mama. You a good mama. I'm going to tell you something. That'll get you some more. Some more. You'll try that, won't you? Now, listen. Surprise your daddy. Surprise your daddy. Say, Daddy, thank you for going to work. Thank you for working. Thank you for staying at home. Thank you for protecting. Thank you for protecting the family. Daddy, well, thank you, you done lost your mind. If you never said it, you ought to make it a habit to just think. That's what God wants. You know, that's what God wants. Oh, he God. He got everything. Yeah. He had to remind the children of Israel because they had just gotten beside them. You know, God, he let them stay in slavery 400 years. And I'm telling you, they cried, but you should have seen them before slavery. They were so bad and so forgetful and so hateful and so complaining that God got tired of him. Notice this one God that we serve. One of the things that you'll find out about the oneness of God, and see, I could spend 10 weeks on one in the Bible. I wanted to start in the right place because, see, one thing you'll find out about this one God that we serve, it started in the garden. God, this one God, does not want to share his glory with anything else, anybody else. And he starts off with them. I, the Lord. I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And see, and I think the reason why he reminds us is because even sometimes when you had some tough times and you got through it, but after you got through it, you just act like it didn't ever happen. Yeah, and I know what happens to me sometimes. You know, Lord, this morning when I was driving to church this morning, I was saying, you know what, God, I remember just a few years ago when I had such a heavy burden that I couldn't even hardly get up out of my bed. And I said, thank you, Lord, for a clear mind this morning. Amen, somebody. Thank you that I can get up. Thank you that you feel. How many of you feeling pretty good this morning? Have you said? Hello. Thank you, Lord. I tell you what, have some pain a little while. And then sometime in the church, we'll get on the prayer line. We need the prayer line. You get on the prayer line, calling everybody. Well, child, I need you to pray for my child. I need to pray for my baby. I need to pray for my health. Well, you know what? Some of us have gotten through some of that. Yeah. And brought you out of the house. And you notice, and even when we read it today, we read this, how the Lord your God brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. We gloss over that like it's not nothing. Notice, they were in bondage, whips and chains. The food, they were hurting. They were crying to God. They were in slavery. Hard times. Some of us say, yeah, but our people are in slavery. Some of us actually, we talk about, we don't know what slavery is. I don't want to try. I don't want to experience it. Don't need to take me back. I don't know. I don't want no parts of none of that. And then he says, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, notice, this is the first thing that God says. It's the first thing. It's, you know, here. Well, I don't know if I should. Well, yes, I should. You know, you've heard me say before, you know, it's holiday season is coming up and Christmas is coming up and you know, a lot of us buy gifts for our kids and you know, and they say, well, you know, you put the gifts under the tree and you say, Santa Claus not going to get you nothing. You don't act right. Santa Claus not going to get you nothing. You know what I've said about Santa Claus, don't you? So if you don't want to hear this, close your children and send them out in the lobby. Santa Claus don't purchase anything in my house. Now my children grown, now I got grandkids now though. And guess what? Santa ain't purchasing nothing for them either. Hey man, somebody. Well, Gary, you shouldn't say that. Well, the truth shall. If you're new here, I'll explain to you later. But, I'm like that right now. Look here, I'm gonna tell you something. I work hard for the little change I make. Anybody, amen that?
Amen.
I do. I don't believe. My dad taught me never be lazy. Don't be lazy. Work, son. You work. You work. You earn. You keep. And I'm telling you, I work hard. I don't mind working hard. And that's why I don't want nobody else getting credit for nothing. Can you imagine this? God set the moon in this. I mean, just think that God, every star in this place, you call it the Big Dipper. God don't call it that. Everything in the world, the things that people, you know, we go see the Grand Canyon. Who made the Grand Canyon? I've seen Mount Everest. You what? You have? That's just one little small thing. God made. I've been to Niagara Falls. You really? Beautiful sight. How much you pay to go see it? Yeah. And God, the creator of the world, with people playing games and buying tokens and making models and little elephants and little mountains and little aspects and calves and goats and bulls and hanging them around their necks and bowing down to all of this stuff. God says, he says to them, have no other gods. You would think that he wouldn't have to say that. No other gods before me. And so God, see, even people who don't, quote unquote, in a structure religious, you know, some way, it's not about going to church. It's what you put all of your effort and your emphasis and your honor. See, some folk now today, but Gary, we not back there in that day, and I don't serve no gods like that. Well, we replace those gods with these our gods. Yeah. Some individuals know more about a red flounder fish than they knew their Bible. This is NFL season. This is the football season. Football is a religion to some folk. Do the Texans play today? They play in Houston. They playing. Some of y'all don't tell me now. No, if they play in Houston, I promise you. You say, okay, 8 o'clock service. That's mighty early. There are some folk. Houston is the tailgate capital. There are some folk who were down at NRG Stadium. They were down there at the break of dawn, before the break of dawn, camped out. They will be there to the game. They will to the whole game. After the game is over, some folk come to worship service and say, "But yeah, you in for you, y'all, right? But yeah, you need to close right now." Can't sit in worship service for 2 hours. Start complaining. You go. Beyonce was back when she back. Beyonce was in town last week. Do you know how much the tickets cost, though? Some of you sure enough know. I mean, soon as Beyonce coming to Houston, she is, and you get on the computers, oh, you'll find out what some of us even go to other cities, get your ticket, get your outfit. Pay for parking. Park 10 miles from the stadium. Metro. Any kind of way you get to get in there, and it's style. It's getting crowded in here. Is in here it's crowded? Go to concert, stand up the whole time. And we'll come out of there. Oh, girl, you put on a show! Tired on a Thursday night. Gotta go to work Friday morning. And you still high when you walk into work. Girl, you don't know what I did. Girl, I saw Beyonce. And you just work like you're on cloud nine all day long. And I just want to know, did Beyonce leave you a tip? What are you saying, Brother Gear? Christians, saints, God says, have no other gods. Notice this. Before me. God wants to be kept in the right place. Back then, he wants to be kept in the right place. See, our worship service is a gratitude. This is how we are God. This is how we thank God. This is where we come to praise God. We come to give him honor. Notice honor that is due him. He's not asking us to. Notice you. Most of our time is spent outside of the walls. Most of our time is spent in other places. God is not asking you to spend 24/7 every day in your life in this building. Even to assemble with the saints all that time. And people back then complained, and people today. And notice this. See, this how they got this. God wanted to bless as he wants to bless us today. This is what he told them. You should not make yourself an idol. He said he was really specific with them. He said, I don't want you making nothing. See, nothing physical that you can look at that you are so-called worshiping. He says this, or in a likeness of what is in here. I don't even want you making nothing looking like nothing I made. In heaven, above, or nothing. I don't want you to make a bug, an animal, a dog, a cat. I don't want you making nothing. I don't want you making a horse, or a turtle, an elephant. Nothing on this earth beneath. I don't want you making a fish, a caterpillar. I don't want you making a snake. Amen. Nothing. Why? Because I made all of that. Under the earth. And then verse 5, he says, you shall not worship them or serve them. However you want to call it, I don't want you worshiping him at home, publicly, nowhere. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Just for time's sake, the New Testament demands mana, oneness, theism, oneness, belief, serving God. 1 Corinthians 8:4, therefore concerning the thing, the eating of things sacrificed to animals, Paul writes, and really addressing other issues, we know there is no such thing as an idol in the world. And Paul in his day dealing with the same thing, folks just idol crazy. You know, Paul says, and that there is no God but one. Everybody say one. There is no God but one. They were arguing about eating food sacrificed to idols. They were, even in the New Testament church, some just couldn't let go of some of that foolishness that they had that was under the law. And they were having an argument. And Paul says, listen, really, now you eating food sacrificed, that doesn't even matter because that really is not an idol anyway. 1 Timothy 2:5, as Paul writes to young preacher Timothy, for there is one God, one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I told you I could spend several weeks on one. I'm starting with God. He says there's one God. He told a preacher, Paul, there's one God. Now, why did he have to keep saying it again? Because there were those that were about, whether in the religious world, wherever it is, that still wanted to give credit to as there is today. James chapter 4, verse 12. There is only one lawgiver. Now this is where you need to really pay close attention. It's because, see, in the world we live in the postmodernistic thinking where everything is relative, where your interpretation is your own interpretation, where your beliefs and your thinking, and we have this pluralistic thinking, especially those who are even more educated than others, as we talk and speak to one another. Good thought. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, good mind. Good. I love the way you're processing that information. Great. I never heard it that way. Makes sense to me. Everything becomes relative, but the scriptures say there is only one lawgiver. And more than that, it says, and judge. The one who, listen, the one in your scriptures, in your translations, and it's probably capitalized, the one who is able to save and destroy. A lot of smart people in this world. Whole lot of smart thinkers and smart writers and different thoughts. I'm speaking tomorrow at the Oklahoma Christian Lectureships in Oklahoma, in Edmonds, Oklahoma, and the topic that is one of the topics that has been given me is to answer the question how we are born again. How we are born again. That's one of the questions that was given to me, And you know, of course, some of us that's in the body, we would go to John chapter 3, said, except you're born of the water and of the spirit. But you got intellectuals, you know, and people bring questions to you all the time and want to question, you know, there are those that even in the church. And I think they're addressing this. In the church, you have a group who trying to take, say that baptism is not necessary for salvation. The baptism is just an act. It's a ceremony. It's a confirmation of what we've already done, that we're already saved. And you know, you take people that's really smart, and they want, you know, they want your thinking on everything. They want your thinking. Well, what's your thinking on that? You know, baptism. I mean, to me, it's simple. You know, and I'm pray for me because I'm just a simple minded. I don't like to be confused. If somebody asked me, you know, is baptism necessary? You know, I'm just going to ask them, you know, Well, have you been born again? That's what I would ask. If somebody asked me that, I'd say, well, have you been born again? What being born again got to do with what I just asked you? I say, well, the scriptures say unless you've been born of the water and of the spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Isn't that what your scriptures say? And so if a person asks me, say, well, I don't know if I've been born again or not. Well, if you haven't been born again, then you're not even in the kingdom. You asking me about baptism? Now, how else can you be born again anew if you haven't been baptized in the water and the spirit? Is there another way? And you, well, that's your thinking. Now, that's Jesus' thinking on it. He said, unless you've been born of the water, of the spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Is that what the Bible says? Now, so if you haven't been born in the water of the spirit, you're not in the kingdom of God. And so if only way you can be born of the water and the spirit is baptism, then don't you think you need to be baptized? And he'll come back and say, well, you know, that's your thinking on it. Well, you know what? That's one lawgiver. And I'm going to stand before God with God's law and not him law. Amen. And then the scriptures say in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, if you address as Father, the one who impartially, thank you, Lord, this is what, who impartially judges according to each one's work. God is no respecter person. There's another reason why I like this oneness when it comes to this, and its consistency in the Bible especially, that the scriptures would say that if you address the Father as one, the one who impartially judges, who with no respect to person, doesn't matter what family you come from, doesn't matter what part of the country you come from, what nationality, what race you are, what God will judge us all fairly. The world needs fairness, don't it? We got stuff going on right now. It's like, well, who's right, who's wrong, who's fair? Well, only a God who knows all. And that's going to come a time when God is going to make everything right. You know, all the questions that we want to know, well, who's right, who's wrong, who's fair, who did? And sometimes we even think we know the right answer and we don't even know. Why? Because we don't know all the details. We don't know everything that's happened. You don't know where everything. That policeman shot that black man, and I know, boy, that just don't make no sense. It doesn't make any sense. A lot of it don't make any sense. And so many, too much stuff has happened, and we don't understand what's going on. But I promise you, you need to save your judgment because you don't know everything. Sometimes I believe we find out the policeman was wrong. Sometimes I think we'll find out if we know all the facts, the other man was wrong. Well, we're breaking every, somebody need to do something. You know, if you don't know everything, you can't do nothing right now. But I do know this, we need to act, we need to be right with God ourselves. Because one day God is going to impartially judge the whole world, and he is the only one who is suitable, who is fit to do it. See, it's according to each one's work. Conduct yourselves. This is what he tells us. In fear, during the time of your state on earth. And so to each one of us, the foundation for our behavior, our conduct, how we treat people, how we treat our family, how we treat our husband, how we treat our wife, stands on the foundation of understanding that the one God who created the whole world is going to be our judge in the end. He's going to judge the whole world. And if our allegiance, I know I'm speaking biasly and I'm not speaking as an academic person this morning, but as we observe the oneness of God and as we observe the scriptures and we even observe history, we see that this one God who created the whole world is suitable to judge us. And he's worthy to judge us. And we need to hurry up and make up our mind who we going to serve. We need to make up our mind in a hurry who we going to serve. Because this is not one of those you just do what you want to do. Or we do, absolutely. Well, I guess it is. You know, we can do what we want to do because we serve a God who gives us free will. Yeah, to a certain extent. But know that one day all of us will answer. All of us will answer. Decide if you want to put your beliefs, your hopes, all of your on this pluralistic thinking, this polytheistic thinking of believing that you can serve all of these different gods. That just don't make a lot of common sense to me. Or you can put it into one God that we serve on this earth, who sent his only one begotten Son to this earth to save us all from our sins. This is God's plan, that we through him might be saved. And if you're here today and you have not put your allegiance with the one God, this one time I put all my eggs in this basket. Every last one of them are with God and with God alone. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he that comes to God must believe, notice, that he is, and that he is a reward of those of them that diligently seek him. If you're here and you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. If you're willing to confess Christ, Matthew 10, 32, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, the Lord adds you to his church. The church, you can read about this oneness. I think I'm going to stay on one a little while. Because there's some more oneness in the Bible we need to hear about. Amen, church. Yeah, that's more some more. There's other numbers that are significant also in the scriptures. But you know, one is just not complicated. Yeah, one is not complicated. And I hope that you want to be in the one church that you read about in this one Bible that we have. Amen. And if you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing to be baptized, he adds you to that one church. And God wants the whole world to be in his one church, in this one belief system, in this one faith system. God wants us to be all a part of it because he don't want you to be confused. Now, there's confusion out in the world, but you stay with God. If you're here today and you're a Christian, God is loving and forgiving and kind, and he wants the whole world to be saved. That's why you're here today, this morning, because of God's grace and God's goodness. God has been good to all of us. If you want to respond to the invitation in any way, if you have a prayer request, won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
I was sinking.